Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown, 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 Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome to the show, everybody. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm Steve Tasker. Murph has the day off today. I'm joined by my bud, Joe Biscaglia from Channel 7, and also Lorenzo Alexander's joined us. They don't want to take the training wheels off me right on my first, you know, first of the show. So I can't. They can't just bring just anybody in here. They got to bring the whole tribe in. Lorenzo, thanks for being in.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. I was up here getting a little physical therapy in, so easy little walk.
Well, I'm glad you did have to come in just for us. And Joe, you did have to come in just for us.
I did.
Otherwise, the show would have come crashing down.
Well, I believe in you. I don't know about everybody else, but I believe in you.
I appreciate that. That's nice. Lo, you're. OTAs, you feeling good? I mean,
yeah, feeling real good.
You guys actually worked this week, so
yeah, got on the field, did some drills. Obviously, start competing versus one another. You know, so it's the first week is always, I think, more intense than it needs to be because you obviously have a mixture of young guys, veteran guys, guys trying to make the team. And I think there's a misconception sometimes that you make the team, you know, in OTAs. You really, you know, just get your feet wet and understand the foundation, and really have to learn how to practice without pads on. I think it's the biggest thing. But it was competitive. I think the coaches were happy with where we're at and just want to continue to move forward and not have any more injuries that we suffered like we did this first week.
Right. So, yeah. Well, so we're going to be here from noon till 3. Lorenzo's going to be here for the first segment here, first half hour of the show or so. Joe, you're here in for the duration. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk to you, Lorenzo, obviously, about OTAs. We've got a Twitter poll that we're going to throw at you. It's already up and running. If you want to call in and get on the show, talk to Lorenzo or Joe or me, you can call us at 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550, or you can tweet at us at OneBillsLive. We've got a lot going on. Lorenzo's in today. Joe's in today. We've got a lot of stuff around the league that are happening and really just kind of winding up a week that you kind of turned the page. I mean, you guys have turned the page already. You're already thinking way out ahead of this next year. For fans, they're still thinking, you know, about – you know, how the season was, who the new guys are, and all that. You guys have already started to dive into that. You're kind of neck deep in the new team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we've had a little over, 5 or 6 weeks, which seems like forever.
Right.
You see guys every single day working out. So all the guys that, you know, you bring in Andre Roberts, John Brown, you know, Ty Nsekhe, and the multitude of other guys that we have here now that are new. And it really feels, you know, I really feel like I have known them longer than what I have. And I think that's the cool thing about professional sports, that the shared experiences that we have, I can almost put your friendships and build a relationship into hyperdrive. And you probably can contest to that, you know, being in the locker room for many years, just how fast, you know, that bond comes together because you come from common places as far as the game.
You know what it's like to me, and Joe, you can speak to this, and by the way, thanks, you haven't had a chance to get in yet. Remember when you get out, you go away to college, your first couple of weeks of college, how you kind of get in there, and all of a sudden the new guys at college, they're kind of just like you. Everybody's kind of unsure. You're in a new dorm and stuff.
Right.
You start doing everything together. Pretty soon, it's like you've known the kids you went to high school with since you were in kindergarten.
Yep.
And you're good friends, but then you feel like these college kids are like, wow, these are my guys, right?
Yeah.
And you get to be really close early on, particularly in your college days. It's kind of like that with this new team.
Well, I'm sure, I mean, with all the influx of free agents this year, I mean, it's not just rookies this year. Because last year, it was a super young team comparatively.
Yeah.
And this year, I don't know, 20-something free agents, which is kind of crazy for NFL standards.
Yeah.
I mean, what has that been like trying to meld everybody together here?
You know what? It's been great. It's been fun because I think we've identified certain guys since Sean and Brandon have gotten here that they want to bring in. And when you bring in high-character guys, you know, guys that are open, accountable, friendly, respectful and responsible, have families, I think it's easier to kind of get to know them. It's not like prima donnas, like, oh, man, don't talk to me. You know, I make all this money. I'm this and that. But here you do your thing. So it's been a breath of fresh air of getting to know these guys. And for me, I've actually played with several of these guys throughout the years. You know, I think about John Brown and Andre Roberts that come to mind off the top. I was in Arizona with them, so there was already a relationship that had been developed there. And then a lot of these guys you play against, you know, whether it's Mitch Morris or Cole Beasley that I've seen throughout my tenure in the NFL multiple times, and you gain a respect and a knowledge of who they are. And now actually get to see them day to day, it just backs up everything that I've heard about them as people from other guys that have known them before them getting here.
There's a couple of things I want to ask you about, a couple of guys specifically that you know really well, guys who were on the team last year and your take on them now coming back after they've been mm-hmm. through one lap. Most notably, first of all, Jerry Hughes re-signing.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, he's one of, I guess, four of us that were here when I got here my first year in 16
right.
that is still left. And obviously that's a testament to who he is and how he practices, how he approaches every day, because as we've seen what this regime has done is that they have removed anybody that has not bought into the coach and the direction and has produced on the field to help us win games. And
right.
So Jerry is a testimony to rewarding guys that do the things the right way and doing the things the way we want to do them here as the Buffalo Bill. And I'm very happy for him and his family. He obviously be over 30, and to get an extension of that magnitude is huge and just shows that you can still play at a high level past your 30s in this league now.
Right.
Can you speak, because his sack statistics aren't always – yeah,
right.
I'm
yeah.
getting there. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
But as a defender, when you see that, it is in no way a true testament to the value of the player itself, and i.e. as the reason why they signed him through 2021.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, by far. I mean, obviously, when you go look at, you know, everybody looks at sacks. You know, how many sacks did you have? You know, 15, 16. You think about Von Miller, Khalil Mack, D. Ford, guys that are typically up there.
Mm-hmm.
But as a defensive mind and having an impact on a real game, and those other guys do this too, it's all about being disruptive. And Jerry Hughes is probably, if he's not number one, he's probably in the top three to four guys in this league that is disruptive and attacking the quarterback. So that's getting sacks, getting pressures, hitting him, moving him off the spot, tackles for loss. He does all these things. And to Jerry's detriment, I think a little bit, he goes for the big play, what you want to do. You want to be aggressive. You want to mm-hmm. take risk. And sometimes he misses things just by the hair of his chin because he's going for the ball instead of hitting the quarterback where he can sack it. But in our standard, we want to get sack fumbles. And so he's playing into that mantra a little bit. But I think this year he's going to take it to another level and not only be disruptive, but also see the sack numbers kind of build up and be more on the national spotlight.
And he also takes on a ton of double teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's getting chipped. They're sliding the protection to him. So obviously it's our job as far as the other three guys that are rushers, whether it's me, Trent,
right.
Ed, Jordan Phillips, Star, whoever's out there opposite of Jerry, to create havoc as well. So they may still slide to him, but they're going to pay if they do that.
Right.
And that's our role, and we want to be able to continue to do that. And obviously getting those sack numbers back up, I think Trent being healthy, being a second year in this scheme, and we having a comfort level, especially me and him, because that's the guy I often work with now versus when I first got here, Kyle Williams, and developing that chemistry and being more disruptive on our side too.
You're listening to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We're here with Lorenzo Alexander. Joe B is in for John Murphy this week. Murph is not this week. Murph's out for the day because of the holiday weekend. We want to ask you another guy I want to ask you about, Lorenzo, and how this, as we just finished this first week of OTAs, is Matt Milano coming back from a broken leg. And I said this early in the week, and I always feel bad saying it, but it's almost lucky when you break a bone rather than blow your knee. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bones are definitely better than tendons and
you know,
ACLs,
ligaments
and all that. You definitely don't
want to
do that.
How's he looking?
He's looking good. I think he's had a lot of time in the offseason to rehab. You know, I was one of the guys that stayed around, and he was up here putting in the work. He's definitely bigger and stronger. I think this year he's actually our strength staff does a great job of pairing people together to work out with, and him and Julian Stanford have really been two guys to work out. And if you ever see Julian Stanford walk around here, he looks like a Greek god.
He looks like a pro athlete.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I
think they strategically put Matt alongside of him just to get him a little bigger and more robust this year so he can endure the impact that a NFL season has on your body. But he's still fast, still instinctive, and you can just see his growth. And I'm excited to see him take that next step along with Tremaine and see really what those guys do for a 16-week period. I'm really happy for what they've been able to do.
I'm glad you brought up Tremaine, because he's someone, it seemed like the final month of the season, he just settled in. It just clicked in for him. What, in your opinion, because you've seen a lot of players go through, what is this guy's potential? What can he be in this league?
I mean, if he stays on the track he's on, just because of his mentality, his humbleness, his work ethic, he is going to be the standard. Like, you know, you say Mike linebacker's not right now, everybody says Luke Kuechly. Mm-hmm. In another 2 to 3 years, you'll say, okay, we need to get a Tremaine Edmonds. You know, he's going to be the guy that really defines that position because of his size, his athleticism. He's very intelligent and smart. And so last year he had never played Mike. And so he had to make that transition of just being a plain athlete to now I have to get everybody else lined up, notice what the formation is, and then make a play for myself too within the scheme of all that chaos that's going on out there. And as you mentioned, he got better at the end of the year because the game started to slow down for him a little bit. And that's the biggest difference. There's a lot of talented guys and athletic and do all these things and shorts and stuff, but when it's chaotic around you, the guys that have long careers and are productive are those guys that are who are able to, in their mind, slow the game down, see things, react quick, and make those decisions, you know, at the split of a second.
Yeah, and there's another guy I wanted to ask you about as well. Tremaine is huge, so we ask you, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
How about this newest guy, Ed Oliver? So much has been pointed out. And it's a week. I mean,
right,
we're like
two
practices
Yeah, it's hard to tell so far.
But you ever get a sense of who he is and what kind of guy he is. Is part of the reason he's going to fit because he's a culture fit? Is he that kind of guy?
Yeah, he's working in. I mean, he obviously is a young guy, and I'm excited. I haven't had a chance to actually be in the room with him or be in the position drills quite yet, just because I'm putting most of my attention to linebackers. But talking to the guys and kind of seeing them on film, works very well, gets off the ball, hustles. And I want to see him once he gets pads on.
Right.
For him, he's so explosive, and his game is so about just getting off the ball and knocking cats backwards, that it's kind of hard to mimic that. That's probably one of the hardest things during the OTAs when you have linemen. The physicality of the game, especially when that's one of your strong suits, it's kind of hard to practice it without, you know, getting somebody's shoulder hurt or, you know, getting into some fights. Because you're going too hard, dude. I don't have no shoulder pads. You just put your helmet in my chest, you know, right? So it's, you know, trying to find that. So O-line, D-line play is always hard for me, at least, in OTAs to really give you a real opinion because it's not real.
But the one thing you can see at these, with him especially, is the movement ability.
Oh, yeah, he's
like
quick. He's
the zero gravity around the tackle dummy. Mm-hmm. That I haven't seen a defensive tackle move like that. I don't know about you. Just be able to turn on a dime like that and turn the corner.
Right. Well, a lot of that, you know, I think is the benefit of he's not your typical D tackle.
Right.
He's smaller, shorter, lower gravity point. He's 280, powerful, so he has all those tools. And the game has changed so much to where now that's like a prototypical D lineman that you want to be able to come in, right? Because when I came out, you too small, dude. You got to play maybe outside. We see if you can make you a mic, lose a little weight. But now you want those guys. And that athleticism is definitely going to pay dividends to him, especially in this space game, passing game. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be very dynamic once he gets the defense and some of the small things that you don't think about as a young player making that transition. Like third and long, you're going to get hard counted. Oh, I jumped offside. So those little things that's going to help him take his game to the next level, and that's up to me, Star, and Trent to kind of help him, as well as Jerry to help him through that progression.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit too about how good this defense was last year, and they didn't get much help from the offense. I mean, you never really faced an offense that was in desperation mode. You faced a couple of teams. I mean, even going back to, I was thinking probably the Vikings game, the Jet game with Matt Barkley at quarterback, and then the last game, Week 17 against Miami. Those were teams, and certainly the you could point a finger at the Vikings and say, man, they just didn't show up either.
Right.
You lumped them up big time. They were never even in that game enough to be desperate.
Right.
And the Jets, same kind of thing. They kind of came out like, these guys are
too late.
You know what I mean? It's too late.
Yep.
So most of the time, you faced a team that was playing a little close to the vest, and you didn't get a chance to churn the turnovers out like you did 2 years ago when you were winning games kind of single-handedly, getting those five turnovers and have a +3 on the day.
Right.
But you didn't change all that many pieces in this defense.
No.
What's your answer to the people who say, maybe a little stagnant, you know? It might be the same guys over and over, and people can have a handle on them.
I would say to that this group is not complacent. And I think that's the only time you really get into trouble is when you feel like we finished number two in the league last year overall, and you say, well, we got, 10 of the 11 starters coming back, we're good. That's not the makeup right. or the mindset of this defense at all. We understand that there's so many areas we can get better in, especially red zone efficiency, making teams kick field goals that can really take us to another level and trying to figure out a scrum defense. So that's our mindset. We're trying to not be, on paper, the number one defense as far as yards given up. We're trying to be the most dominant defense this season and really ever. I mean, because that's the type of guys we want to be the best ever. We're not just complacent with just showing up and winning games. We really want to dominate games because we understand that's going to get us, first of all, where we want to be, putting us in playoffs. And then obviously, December, January, and hopefully even to February, defenses, is the ones that are able to make the plays and be dominant and have those game-changing plays are the teams that win those tight games, especially when we're talking about playoff and championship caliber games.
Right. And we've been talking about all your teammates. What about you? How do you feel coming in? I know it's know you signed the extension to right. come back. I mean, being the official oldest guy in the locker room.
I'm second. Frank Gore.
Oh,
two
Frank.
Weeks,
I forgot.
2 weeks older than me. Yes,
I forgot. Frank
I was officially
added.
The oldest last year. Yeah, this year I'm the second. So okay. I'm good with that. But I feel good.
Okay.
The coaches are doing a good job of taking care of me. Every time I come back, I really like OTAs and practicing and never take them for granted because when you're away from football, even a couple of weeks, your fundamentals and some of the basic things get really rusty. Your eyes, your footwork, your hand placement, the things that's going to allow you to get through downs and be dominant when you really need to, when you're tired or the game is on the line. So I really try to take extra attention to the details, whether we're doing individual drills, listening to what Bob or Coach Agarugu is telling me, and then really critiquing myself on film, just so my hand placement is right. So when the games come around, that's second nature. I'm more worried about scheme and what that guy likes to do, and I'm not really focused on that. So that's the time for me to really hone in on this and really try to find ways to make my game fundamentally even better than what it's been in the past.
How much do you have to kind of pull back in OTAs and just to keep yourself, fresh as the spring and summer go along?
Well, they do that naturally because if I'm out there, I'm playing. It's not like I'm gonna say, right. Well, let me take this play off.
Right.
They
of
do.
Course.
They control that more with my rep count, more so than anything. And so I don't pull off because you have to do things at a certain speed so that it becomes second nature to you. Obviously, I'm not. If they pull a guard and I have to go hit it, I'm not going to try to destroy the guard. I'm kind of pulling off on that and taking care of myself there. But otherwise, it's pretty much a, full go for me.
Okay. All right. So now at the way, 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 way too early point, to use your phrase in your article, way, way, way too early, we've got a Twitter poll we want to put out to our listeners, and you guys can chime in on it too. If you want to call in on this, it's 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. The question of the day, the Twitter poll of the day is, who is the best-kept secret on the Buffalo Bills roster? Now, that roster hasn't been set. Now, we gave them four choices, and so far, 64% of the people out there think Matt Milano is the best-kept secret. 17% of the people think Duke Williams is, 13% say Levi Wallace, and 5% say T.J. Yeldon. Now, if one of those four isn't on your list, or if you think there's somebody who's an even bigger secret than these four guys, call us or tweet at us at OneBillsLive. And we'll take your call on the air. And the phone lines are open. And if I can push the right buttons, we'll get you on the air. Joe, do you have an opinion about any of these guys? Now, some of the people we've already heard back from some. Some of the listeners are thinking, "Hey, Matt Milano's no secret anymore."
Yeah, that's probably where I would land with him
because he's a pretty good player, and you look for him to bounce back. What's your thought about it?
I like Levi. I think the way he came in those last seven games, he didn't you can correct me if I'm wrong, Lorenzo, he didn't look like an undrafted rookie.
No,
at
he
all.
Didn't at all. I liked him even in during preseason games.
Right,
I was
yeah.
like, this cat can play. And they end up putting him on, practice squad for whatever reason they wanted to do and let some other guys develop. But
right.
I knew he could play early.
Yeah. Yeah, he's it always seems like he's kind of positioning himself in the right spot. It seems like tall, long, exactly what Sean McDermott looks for in his cornerbacks. And if I know it was a point to them for him to get a little bit stronger because there was a couple that kind of stuck in his mind, the Marvin Jones where they wrestled away from
him.
But if he can improve upon that, I mean, he can position himself to be the starter this year and beyond.
Yeah, he's smart, too. I think that takes his game to another level, too. Studies the game, understands it, especially at corner. Kind of that Richard Sherman-esque, you know, his football IQ is very high.
Yeah.
And he's made some adjustments, just me watching, sitting back, and some of the things and adjustments that he's making, anticipating routes and how the offense is attacking him is kind of beyond his years in a lot of ways. But I don't really think he's a secret either. I mean, when you say that, are we talking about national attention, like the whole league knowing about him, or players? Because guys, whoever turns on that film and has evaluated games or we're getting ready for the Buffalo Bills defense this week, I mean, I don't even know what number he is now. He was
47. He's 39 now.
39.
Yeah, I say
47,
but yeah, he's 39
now.
That's
so unfair.
I like the 47. I don't know why he didn't keep it, but they turn on that and see 47 from last year. They know who he is.
I think
nationally, just like Matt Milano,
right.
I don't think they're known just because we don't get a lot of national attention in Buffalo. But people that play us, they know who those two guys are. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's what it is, national. It's national appreciation, kind of on a larger scale.
Yeah, Milano's getting there
more. Well, Matt Milano's on that. He should be on that.
Matt's got to be on there.
He's on
there. If you have an opinion about it, you can call us at 803-0550 or tweet at us at OneBillsLive. Who do you think the best kept secret on the Buffalo Bills roster is or will be? And one of the things I was going to mention, too, is you said about Levi Wallace, and that's your guy, right? That both of you think is Levi Wallace on our list.
I'm a Matt Milano guy.
Well, okay, all right. Listen.
No, you can go either way.
I've been on the Milano train for a while, so I'm like, I feel bad doing that.
My point about it is, you mentioned Levi Wallace having a high football IQ, and I was always this, and this is one of the things why the culture here they're trying to build a One Bills Drive is important, and it was kind of important back when I played 30 years ago. When you get smart guys on your roster, they always tend to improve.
Right.
Whatever year it is for them, whether it's the 14th year, they're trying to work on some things, they're trying to maintain and get better, or whether it's their first year and they can take leaps and bounds because of their experience level. Smart guys always get better, and that's why they give them intelligence tests. That's why they check them out, and that's why they talk to them. And guys who don't pass those tests or don't do well or don't seem to be like great athletes,
right,
or for whatever reason don't come across as being – those in year 10, if they can make it to year 10, will be the same guy.
Right.
They will be as great as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to evolve into something great or better.
Right.
But what they are on draft day is what you're going
to
get.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes to self-awareness, right?
Right.
And I think that's what it boils down to. Smart guys, you're a little bit – you kind of think through a lot of things. Okay, where am I weak at? And you kind of, this is where I need to improve. Where some guys, man, I'm talented. I'm getting the job is getting done, so I don't really need to think about nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether I succeed or not, and I think Levi is a lot like this, I'm still trying to, could I have done that a little bit better? Or, where are they going to attack me next week? Because I showed this, how are they going to attack me next week? And I think that's how Levi is ahead of the game. Because let's say one week he jumps on the ball. He jumps a slant. Boom. Great play. Very instinctual because they lined up. X was nasty or the X had a cut split. That team showed it. Well, next week he's thinking, I just jumped that. They probably going to double move me next week.
Right.
And then maybe he's not. Then he's making that play, breaking that deep ball down the field. And that's what I think smart, self-aware players are able to do. And grow, and you do that in every asset of the game, which Steve was just mentioning, and that's why you have those leaps and bounds, and you're a totally different player than what people may expect you to become.
Right. There have been a couple of guys we've spoken about too that have gotten bigger and stronger. Levi, does he fall in? I haven't even laid eyes on the guy
yet. It looks like he's gotten stronger.
He's definitely stronger. I think he works out with Pitsy, Lafayette. Mm-hmm. So and Lafayette, I mean, he lifts like he's a D tackle.
Right.
I mean, he's strong too, and he's a DB. And so, like I said, they are very strategic because, guys, you work out, that's enough weight. But if you're working out against another guy and he's throwing up, I need to put a little bit more because it becomes a competition in a sense.
I got to tell you, that's kind of a paradigm shift.
Right.
Because we go in, you work out. We used to decide who we're going to work out with. You work out with your friend, whoever it is, and your schedule's the same.
Yep.
You're telling me the Bills – training guys, listen, by the way, here's your workout part. You're working out with this guy.
Yeah, so they, you go into the weight room and Seattle calls out the three guys you're working out with. And a lot of times, as I've noticed, and when I first got here, I just grabbed my sheet, but as I noticed, it's strategic. He terminally has guys that maybe not mature enough or don't know how to lift the right way. He may put you with, like, a rookie with me, or he may put a guy like Matt Milano and Julian together that are compatible, but Julian is a little bit more, I think, weight room savvy. And so Matt kind of gravitates and, okay, I can do a little bit more than what I'm doing. Not that Matt Milano wasn't doing it, but I think he could push himself just past that line, redline himself a little bit more and get a little bit more growth. And they do that with various guys through various positions, which I think is very smart.
What's your pairing?
I'm kind of solo. I'm a roamer. But normally I'm with Matt and Julian. But sometimes I'm with some old linemen. It depends on what the lift is.
Right.
Because I lift like I used to be a D-tackle, which I was at one time.
Right, sure.
So sometimes I may have Shaq in my group. It just depends. Or sometimes I may be with Matt and Julian.
And I just wanted to say, I mean, you spoke a little bit ago about the evolution that you have to continue to evolve as an NFL player, otherwise you're going to get left in the dust. And you were like the picture of that, seeing as how you started at one position, moved to another position, and now you're a strong side linebacker / pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you have to look within to find that out about yourself to where you have to evolve, and otherwise you're out?
Well, for me, it was forced. I mean, it was kind of the writing was on the wall. When coaches start moving your position, you know, that means they like you because they're not just cutting you and getting away, but they're trying to find a spot for you to be. And I know I had to be I had to let my ego go, because if I didn't, if I was very resistant to that, then I definitely would have been out. And so I just some self-awareness and being aware of what's going around you. And it's not because they don't like you. It's because they do like you and they're trying to find a fit for you. So it's all about perspective. And so I've been blessed enough to have people around me to help me understand that, you know, talking to some veterans, you know, I always mention like London Fletcher, you know, I played with Brinson Buckner when I was in Carolina, Larry Fitzgerald. So talking to guys that have been around it for a long time, you know, why do you think they keep moving me? You know, and instead of saying because you're not good enough, well, they really like you and they want you to fit somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's more buy-in versus they trying to do you wrong and they want to get you out of here. They don't want you to do well. You know, see how that's just a different perspective and approach from the player's perspective to where, okay, I'm a buy-in because they want me here. So let me figure out how I can improve versus they trying to do me dirty. And so that, I think that was key for me.
Is that a problem for some guys, letting go of that ego?
It is. I mean, because if you've done something, you know, for so long, really, you know, most guys probably play from when they're probably between the ages of 5 and 8, you know, and then you're in college. And if you come out early, let's say you're 20. So, I mean, that's 12 to, you know, 15 years of you playing one position at a very high level, being the starter, being the guy, making all the plays. And now you get to a level to say, and regardless if you're getting paid or not, we actually want you to do this. I think I see something that you might be better over here. Mm-hmm. Man, that's hard. I mean, that's hard.
Sure. What? Right. Some guys
what?
Never get it.
This is out of my box.
And you see that constantly when they put guys say, listen, we need you to cover kicks. And they're like, whoa, true.
Special teams
is
the biggest way. Yeah.
I ain't doing that. Yeah. Right. Because, you know, when you're in college or whatever, you know, the walk-ons cover kicks. You know, I mean,
it's a perception issue.
Right. And they kind of have trouble putting themselves in that
spot.
Yeah.
And what Sean has done is actually spoke to that, and it's more of a work while you wait. You may not be good enough to be the starter right now, because if you're a corner, I don't think nobody's moving Tre'Davious out if you're a rookie corner right now, and let's say you are undrafted or a sixth pick. Maybe, I don't think so, right? So if you want to have a position on this team, you need to get out there, play special teams. Doesn't mean that you're not good enough to play in this league, but work while you wait, and then make the coaches play you. That's what I always tell the young guys. You go out there and make some plays on kickoff and knocking cats out and making plays. Coaches want ballers on the field. They're going to maybe create a package, or, you know, maybe you rotate in, or maybe you play Buffalo this week or nickel, but they're going to find a way to get you to where you want to be.
Someone we talked about did this exact thing, Matt Milano.
Yeah.
He started off special teams.
And, balling out, yep.
And then once Ramon went down with an injury.
Thumb. Yep.
And then he came in, Ramon went in for the starting lineup for a little bit, and then they made the switch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
what
Milano.
Happens.
Joe Biscaglia, Steve Tasker, along with Lorenzo. Lorenzo, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah,
I know, what do you got? Got big plans for the weekend?
Yeah, my friend is coming down, Chris Wilson, played with him in the Redskins for about 5 years, him and his family, and then Sunday be barbecuing at the house. I got my kids. I guess that's my little one kind of off on set right back here. That's the baby hanging out.
Standing in the shadows.
Yeah.
Lorenzo, thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, yeah, appreciate
Lorenzo.
You guys.
Have a great weekend. We're listening to Joe Biscaglia, Steve Tasker on One Bills Live. We're here from noon till 3. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit about the 53-man roster. We're going to have 7 observations from the first week of OTAs, talk about what Joe's doing at WKBW and more. So stick with us. This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Joe Biscaglia. Murph's got the day off. We've been talking about the OTAs. Lorenzo Alexander, who was on for the first half hour of the show, gave us his observations, mostly about the defensive guys.
Yeah, great perspective.
Yeah, he's got great perspective about how guys can make it. And at this time of year, it's all about, you know, guys forget it. You know, especially the young guys, they don't get that. It's about getting on the team and staying here any way you can. And it's I've said this to really young guys. Like in colleges and stuff, I say, you know, the guys will say, "Man, I'll do anything to make it in the NFL. I'll do anything to make me." From the minute they get here, they say, "Well, we want you to cover kicks." He goes, "Well, I ain't doing that, right?"
Right.
It's like they're like, "I'll do anything. I'll do anything except. I'll do anything except cover kicks. I'll do anything except play special teams. I'll do anything except, you know, block." Right.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, it sounds crazy, but it's true.
Yeah.
And it really is true.
I hear you there. And I think you have to also be careful this time of year in falling for fool's gold, because I can't tell you how many times we've seen OTA player X look great for practice upon practice. Perfect example, Dez Lewis. Dez Lewis won the Super Bowl of OTAs almost every single year, and then once they got to training camp, he could never really transition once they put the pads on. But this is also a time of year where you can identify guys that maybe weren't on your radar to come up and be something that you weren't expecting them to. And two guys come to mind most prominently, one being Stevie Johnson. I remember his rookie year, I think it was 2010, if I'm correct. 09 or 10, one or the other. But I remember him coming in OTAs, and I remember him like shaking down good cornerbacks on the team. And I'm like, whoa, this guy can play. And then he started moving up the depth chart. He got hurt a little bit in training camp, but you could tell right away that he was someone that could contribute if he worked hard at it, and he eventually did.
He could find a niche for him.
Exactly. The other one, Nickell Roby-Coleman.
Right.
I mean, he was an all-star during OTAs, and then that pushed him up into the first or second team at nickel his rookie year, and then he eventually takes over that job in his rookie season as an undrafted guy. So it's not as though it's crazy to think that good performances don't yield success always, but sometimes you do fall for the trap, and I have fallen for the trap a few times myself.
Well, there are guys out there who are athletically gifted enough to play in the NFL, but for whatever reason, they were at a lower level football. Their IQ isn't where it should. They got issues off the field. Whatever it is, but you get them in the right spot, and they turn into they work hard at
it.
They turn out to be really sharp guys, and kind of get that self awareness thing. Like, I got to do anything I can to survive on this roster. And you get these guys like Nickell Roby-Coleman, his junior, is the all time great example of this, because I was like, what's his name?
Right.
Right?
He was Nickell Roby.
It was Nickell Roby. Then you change, right? And everybody's like, who is it? And it's one of those guys like, okay, he's on the list of the last three guys. He's going to get cut, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, you can't cut him, right?
Right. Made too many plays.
Right, they made a couple of plays. Well, so let's do it. So not only did they not cut him, they move him ahead of this other guy, right? Or whatever, whoever it was. And now he's in there, and he keeps making plays. So those kind of guys continually are the ones that are the fun guys to watch, you know, the ones you root for, because, you know, they didn't get it all, that golden opportunity handed to them because of whatever.
I wonder how long, and you could probably speak to this, I wonder how long it takes for some of these guys for it to click in, that they have to forget their college identity. If they're not like first, second, third round pick guy, and they're a day three or undrafted type, I wonder how long it takes for them to go, all right, I just have to suck it up and do what is best for the team, because I'm sure there's a moment for a lot of these guys where it's like, well, they've got me playing special teams. I'm on third string. What is that like?
It's a totally individual thing.
Yeah.
There's no generalizing it. It's different for every guy. Absolutely. Because you get in there and you start hearing guys talk about it in the locker room. say, yeah, they got me on time. And they and the attitude they display towards it, guys who have been in the league who you think, well, he's still here. You know, what's the deal? He goes, well, you got to do, you know, and you hear them talking about it and you think, well, okay. How willing are you to do something different that you may not be familiar with in order to give your – you've got to be convinced that it's going to give you a better chance to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can convince the guy of that – and for me, this was crazy. Coaches would never – for a long time, I think maybe they're more willing to do it now. Mm-hmm. Coaches just come up and say, listen, you are not going to make this team unless you can play special teams. You're going to get cut. And some guys say – You're kidding. Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Right.
And a lot of times they wouldn't even say that to you. They just expect you to understand it. They expect you to pick up on that. They don't cut it. They don't make it cut and dried like that.
Right.
I had a guy say, listen, as long as you don't make mistakes, you got a chance. So that became my focus for a while. You know, I can't make mistakes. You know, forget it. You know, because I didn't really know. Before that, I thought, man, I don't know if I'm a good enough athlete. You know, I don't know if I'm a good enough jumper or catcher or route runner or whatever. Mm-hmm. He goes, listen, if you don't make mistakes, you got a chance to make it. And that was a coach that told me that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no pressure.
Right. But by the same token, I thought, well, okay, then I guess if I'm not making mistakes, at least I'm a good enough guy, fast enough, run enough, all of that. So all of that goes into it.
Well, here's another thing I've always been wondering, because, you know, a lot of times when you talk to the players that are in the situation, they won't really give you a straight answer. But since you're now removed from it, what – is there just a constant depth chart counting and like roster counting by guys? Is it inside
their
head? In their brain? They might not talk about it, but it's always there.
You're always evaluate after every rep in practice. You go back and you look at the guys that are in your group.
It's human nature,
and the guys that are ahead of you and behind you, and where you place yourself, and and the accuracy of that is paramount to your ability to be honest with yourself.
Right.
You've got to know that, listen, I'm not getting – listen, they're not going to put me ahead of this guy. Even if I think I'm better than him, they're not putting me ahead of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got too much experience. He knows – you know, they can depend on him. He's proven he knows when to pick up the blitz. He knows when to do the sight read. He knows to – you know, he's got all that stuff.
Right.
There might be a bunch of guys – like, I know this guy, he can't even run a route. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm okay with him. Right, and this guy, you know, this guy, I'm just faster. I'm a better athlete than him. You know, this guy, he's probably got better hands than I do, but he makes mistake after mistake after mistake. You know, that kind of thing. So you do, and then too, and I say this all the time. People have heard me say this a billion times. You ride the emotional roller coaster of going from I am going to be all pro my rookie season to they're going to cut me maybe before practice is over.
I could imagine.
And it's
a few mistakes build up, and then it just permeates in your mind, I would assume.
The thing that people don't believe when I see, they think I'm exaggerating that. The simple fact of the matter is, when I think I'm going to be all pro, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. I think, man, oh man, I did it. And literally, a minute later, I totally believe I am done. I am never going to put on another helmet.
Wow, those range of emotions
are crazy. They're going to put their hand on my shoulder and say, hey, kid, come here. I need to talk to you. And that's going to be it. And you go from 100% positive to 100% negative. And it's constant, up, down, up, down, up, down, depending on what you just did, even a conversation with a coach,
mm-hmm.
even an interaction with an established player, a good rep, a bad rep, a catch, a miss. It's you ride that roller coaster because you feel like your whole life depends on how you're going
to
do with this.
Yeah, and that's why that's wild, because going to the Bills team this year, I mean, they have so many more pieces that they've added in free agency and what have you, some talented pieces. And now, whereas last year we saw a lot of these younger guys getting chances to actually initially crack the roster, it seems like there's just so much more talent, so much more competition, and the 53-man roster is going to be tough to crack for a lot of these, even late round draft picks, which speaks to your point, which is why you always have to kind of gauge yourself about where everybody is.
I go around and around with this, and we've gone, and we're going to go over your projections for the 53 man in this, you know, this at the end May.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cut you some slack today. You probably won't get.
I got
all
48
of my,
out of 48 52
out of 52
last
was
year.
I was like, wow, he was really good.
It was pure luck.
But you're right. it's early, but you do have some guys you know about, and you're right too. And this is starting to remind me, although without the history behind it, this roster is to a point where they're going to release some football players that this organization, this GM, this head coach, this coaching staff, they've invested some things into. A third-round draft pick, a second-round draft pick, a high-priced free agent of a year or two ago. They're going to let some guys go that this regime brought in with high hopes and have some investment in. And they're going to say, you know what, this guy's better. Mm-hmm. But as you heard Lorenzo say, it doesn't really matter because every guy they've got in, except for the four he mentioned, everybody else is their guy too. So this is going to be a much more difficult roster to make.
Yes.
And they're going to release some football players that I think for the first time, you'd see it once in a while around here at position groups and cornerback once in a while or whatever, what have you. You can pick the position group you want where maybe there's one or two guys that you might get picked up by another team. Now you've got multiple players around the roster that other teams are going to be circling around like vultures waiting for the final cuts.
Yeah, I think there was only a couple last year. I think Ike Butker was one, and he ended up back here.
Right.
I think Kansas City picked him up. And then Adam Redmond, the center, he got picked up by Dallas and ended up staying with them the entire year. And so, you're absolutely right. This is a much better team. And you see it just by going through and watching the OTAs, you can see the talent on the field. You can see the fact that they now go perhaps six deep at cornerback, which was not the case whatsoever last year. I mean, Ryan Lewis at one point started for them last year. This year, he was a third stringer in that OTA that I was able to watch on Tuesday. And then you look at the competition. We brought up Levi Wallace last segment. Levi Wallace going up against guys like Kevin Johnson and EJ Gaines, two guys that have both started in this league. So there are so many different little side conversations to have about this roster because it's just that much more talented.
Yeah. You're with Joe Piscaglia, Steve Tasker on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive presented by Kaleida Health. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about some observations from OTAs. We're going to reset the conversation. And if you want to get in on the conversation, you can call us at 888-550-2550 or 803-0550. Who's the best kept secret on the Buffalo Bills roster? You can chime in at One Bills Live if you like. But for right now, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. This is Buffalo Bills Radio, One Bills Live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Joe Piscaglia. Murph is off for this Friday. We're not going to have a show on Monday, but you can tune into GR and MSG and entertain yourself with whatever else is on. But Murph and I will be back on Tuesday after the holiday weekend.
Good for
you.
You
got big plans for the holiday weekend, by the way?
I don't. I'm working on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stinks for you.
Nah, dedicated to the craft. Yeah,
dedicated to the craft.
It's OTA time of year, man.
Good for you.
Gotta keep grinding.
That's right. We also have a Twitter poll out there. You're listening to One Bills Live, by the way, and we have a Twitter poll out there. Who's the best kept secret on the Buffalo Bills roster? We've got Duke Williams, Levi Wallace, Matt Milano, TJ Yeldon. 63% of you say Matt Milano, the young linebacker who broke his leg last year, is coming back, is the best kept secret. And I can see that. The injury would probably keep that, but he was playing what some people thought at what was a Pro Bowl level last year before he was injured. Do you think that? How good do you think he was playing last year?
I think he was.
Only reason I say this is because I read it somewhere.
Right. I think Matt Milano has the potential to become a Pro Bowl player. There are still some areas he needs to improve upon, but you talk about the raw ability, and he continues to get better basically every two or three games. You see a new plateau from him. And I think with Milano, if he continues to develop in this way, he's already just a home run of a fifth-round pick.
Right.
But if he continues to develop the way that people think he can, then really he can be a Pro Bowler each and every year, whatever that means anymore, because the Pro Bowl is weird now because, you know.
Right, yeah, for all those reasons. Yeah, so 63% of you say, yeah, Matt Milano is the best-kept secret. 17% say Duke Williams. Any thoughts on Duke Williams? I've seen the guy. We had the guy on the show. He's a big, rangy athlete.
He
is. He's not a blazer, but he's everything else you know you got to have. He's a route runner. He's a tough 50-50 catch kind of guy. He's a big, solid body, and he's great with the ball in his hands. He's got a lot of athletic ability. So he's got all of that going for him, and 70% of the people say that about him.
Well, I mean, he is a flashy name because he was a big-time recruit down at Auburn, mm-hmm. and then obviously had some off-the-field stuff happen and went over to the CFL, did really well there. He's 26, which can't be understated here. I mean, and he's going to be a 26-year-old rookie if he makes the team. It is not a guarantee that he makes the team, however.
Not at all.
I mean, he has to show this coaching staff that he has a consistent ability to separate from the defender. Because if you've noticed, the Bills have been going away from that type of wide receiver. I mean, look at the guys that they have brought in. Robert Foster, Zay Jones, and then
Cole Beasley,
Cole Beasley, John Brown. These are guys that can separate and do things without, and they don't have to rely on, you know, contested catches. That's not their thing. Duke Williams is that. So he needs to show that he can be able to win those contested catches, and then be able to separate. But there's not a lot of spots on this roster. We were just talking about it. Right. I don't know where he fits in.
Well, and fitting in,
at least right now,
one of the things. Yeah, fitting in is one of the things that I was talking to Murph yesterday about this very subject. And is so you got all these guys that are quick, you know, jitterbug kind of guys. You got a Cole Beasley, you got a John Brown, you got like Isaiah McKenzie, Robert Foster to a certain extent is a
don't count
guy.
Out Vic Bolden, who's right. getting some first team right. time on Tuesday.
Right. So think about this: you've got all those guys, and if you're Brian Daboll as an offensive coordinator, and you're getting into these matchups where teams are starting to defend you a certain way because of your guys,
mm-hmm.
do you want to have this guy sitting as number six guy on your roster? Say, all right, we're going to activate you this week, and we're going to force them to do some things differently defensively.
Does that
hold water?
It does if you have a spot. I mean, what are you going to cut to keep him? I mean, in the way too early roster projection that I did that you've been referencing, I only had the Bills keeping five because that would mean you either have to cut one of your veteran cornerbacks that you just brought in, either Kevin Johnson or EJ Gaines.
Six deep.
Right. I mean, but you're keeping Lafayette Pitts because he's one of your best special teams guys.
Right.
And then, or do you cut one of your draft picks at safety? Because they have Jaquan Johnson and Saran Neal, and they both think fairly highly of both of them. They need to prove it in training camp and preseason. But, you know, who does he make the team over? That's my biggest contention. And he's going to have to show that not only does he have to beat out all the other receivers who are vying for a sixth spot, he needs to prove to them that the receivers in general deserve six spots on the roster.
All right, Joe Biscaglia, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. We're going to go take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about your seven observations from what happened in the OTAs. We're also going to talk a little bit about the offensive line rotations. That was in our Twitter poll yesterday. Tyler Croft's injury in the tight end group, all of a sudden, that turned into a mud puddle, and how the tight end group's going to shake out is going to be a big question as well. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.